This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Just prior to Memorial Day, Ohio's U.S. Senators Sherrod Brown and Rob Portman introduced legislation to honor fallen veterans who were previously forbidden from having a battlefield cross at their gravesite. I spoke with Senator Brown about that and some of the pressing issues in Washington. Senator Sherrod Brown, thanks so much for taking some time with us today.
Good to be with you. Thanks.
So we just honored our fallen military members on Memorial Day, and you and Senator Rob Portman have joined together to introduce the Fallen Warrior Battlefield Cross Memorial Act. I want to give some background on this. This legislation responds to an incident in 2016 at the Ohio Western Reserve National Cemetery in Rittman, and that's where cemetery administrators apparently infuriated veterans by removing a battlefield cross replica from the cemetery. So tell us what your motivation is here with this legislation.
Yeah, I've been on the Veterans Committee for my entire time in the Senate, and I listen to what veterans say about the best way to serve them, those who served us. And Senator Portman and I teamed up on this after the veterans we honored yesterday, because of what we saw with some veterans were unhappy that the cemetery had removed a replica of the battlefield cross on the graves of their loved ones. And so we have responded to that just so that they can do that. It's a small service to pay for these veterans who have asked that we take care of that, and Senator Portman and I are working on it.
The battlefield cross is a memorial marker typically consisting of a soldier's helmet, rifle, ID tag, and a pair of boots. Was there any indication why the cemetery officials were upset with these displays?
I don't know. I don't know if they want sort of a standard cross or what, or not necessarily a cross, whatever the faith of the soldier or the veteran wanted, but this was one we thought, because a number of veterans talked to us about it, that we should fix.
We'll also note that Republican Ohio representative in the U.S. House, Anthony Gonzalez, has also introduced a companion piece of legislation in the lower chamber of Congress. We'll talk a little bit now about election security. We're still concerned about foreign interference in the elections. What's the latest there with the Election Security Act?
Yeah, Americans have decreasing confidence, if you will, in the election system. We know that there was Russian interference in our election in 2016, calling into question in some people's minds the outcome, and just the fact that if you read even 10 or 20 pages of the multi-hundred page Mueller report, you see that you can't help but be troubled about the Trump family and all the elections issues going back and forth and the Russian involvement. So our election security bill, our Election Security Act, primarily will focus on moving back to paper ballots counted by a machine, so people can go in and have confidence that their vote, as they mark it, will count. That as they mark it, they know how they vote for sure, and then it will be counted in a way that has the kind of ballot security we ought to have, and then it's got the backup if there's any question about the election. We actually can do a hand count. And for the last three decades, we used increasingly expensive electronic machinery that there are fears it could be hacked and has been hacked, and maybe outcomes of elections have been wrong. So we want to focus on doing this right and rebuilding confidence in the American election system.
Does the news out of Florida recently that a couple of counties there were targeted by foreign interference in elections there indicate to us that there are still opportunities for foreign meddling in the elections?
I don't think there's any question. And the fact that the president will not make a strong case to Putin face to face to stay out of our elections concerns people in both parties. And I mean, the president of the United States not standing up to the Russians on something that the Russians clearly have tried successfully or unsuccessfully to do. So if the president won't do it, Congress has got to do it. And that means the Election Security Act that we try to get that passed.
Do you think the president's hesitance to address the issue with Russia has to do with questions about his legitimacy in having won the 2016 election?
I think there's no question that the president still feels uncertain and insecure, insecure about many things, but he knows that the Russians helped him. There's no question if you read 10, 20, 30 pages of the, I don't know, 600, 500-page Mueller report. You know that for sure. And whether that changed the outcome of the election is anybody's guess, but I think the president just recoils when anybody questions any of that. And as a result, he has not been out front advocating for our country. I mean, it's unbelievable to me that the president isn't, but advocating for our country in meetings with Putin and other meetings and directing the government, our government, to protect our election system.
Last Wednesday, the president was to meet with Democratic leaders from the Congress, and apparently that meeting didn't go so well. And he offered a press conference in the Rose Garden at the White House. And he suggested that as long as these congressional investigations into his administration are ongoing, there's going to be difficulty passing any type of legislation, particularly this infrastructure conversation that they were going to have. Do you agree with that? Is it not possible for the Congress to investigate the president and do its regular task of creating and adopting legislation?
Well, last week, the president did, and then the Rose Garden clearly, and in his office clearly, was planned ahead of time. Of course, the president can, the government can chew gum and talk and walk or whatever at the same time. I mean, when Richard Nixon was under investigation, he continued to try to advance what he believed was right for the country. When Bill Clinton was impeached by the House, he continued to work on issues that he believed were good for the country and that Congress would work on him with or work with him on. And there is no reason that this president can't be investigated. And I mean, he does spend a lot of his time fighting back against the investigation, not bringing forward information that Congress has subpoenaed, which presidents in the past, no president's reacted quite this way. But of course he can do both. He just doesn't want to. And he wanted a show, and he got a show last week in the Rose Garden.
Late last week, there were reports that Democratic chatter about moving towards impeachment discussion was growing. Is that your sense in D.C.?
Oh, I think a lot of people are talking about it. I think the president is baiting House Democrats to impeach him. I think he will use that politically. I think the investigation should go forward. I don't think about impeachment at this point. I think he's done. I mean, there's clear, again, if you read only 10 or 20 or 30 pages of the Mueller report, you will be troubled enough because you will be troubled because you will see that there are all kinds of attempts to obstruct justice. And I'm not a lawyer, but I know obstruction of justice when I see it. And I'm very concerned about that, but I don't think you move to impeachment unless you see more come forward. And that's why they want Mueller to testify. And it's why the president's lawyer should testify and the president's former top aide. I mean, we know already several people around President Trump are either in prison or have been indicted. And I mean, people that were high up in his organization. And as somebody said, imagine if Hillary Clinton were president and five of her top people were behind bars already, how the Republicans would react instead of circling the wagons the way they do with Trump.
Before we let you go, Senator, I'd like you to talk a little bit about your annual summer camps that you offer to Ohio kids to introduce them to manufacturing jobs. What's the motivation here?
Yes, 7 years ago, we started these. I heard somebody at the White House say, everybody in America wants there to be more manufacturing, but nobody wants their kid to do it. And I just thought that was wrong. And we started these summer camps working with local businesses. They're day camps for a week where local businesses, young people sign up as young as fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh grade. Local businesses host these camps at their companies. So someone in Middletown or Hamilton or Cincinnati or Blue Ash might go one day to one company, the next day to another company. We will do 27 of them this summer. Hamilton County's is June 24th to June 28th. Come to Sherrod Brown.gov, and you can find the location and how to sign up. We just hear from parents how so many kids will say that the kids weren't interested in school and they did this and now they want to be an engineer or a welder or a technician or whatever. So we encourage people to come to Sherrod Brown.gov and sign up.
Senator Brown, we appreciate you taking some time to talk about these issues today.
Oh, thanks. Glad to be with you. I appreciate it.
And that was Senator Sherrod Brown speaking with me earlier. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. I'm Michael Monks. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org.